What is the dark web?
The web, as we understand it, is essentially a connection of computers, right? So the internet, which is beneath the web as such, is a series of servers and other computers that are operating on a kind of a closed network. And this network is accessed via a bunch of what we call protocols. So the commonly used protocol is TCP/IP, which is for anyone who's using the internet today will generally be using that protocol. So if you want to go to Google or you log on to Facebook or something through an internet browser, you're operating over that protocol. So what the World Wide Web is a set of websites that connect together via web links, right? So that's what was invented by Tim Berners-Lee, is this idea of a way in which we can connect lots of different pages essentially together. So understand first and foremost, the internet and the web are two different things. The internet is the kind of the hardware layer underneath connecting all the actual machines together, and the web is one kind of a service that we layer on top of that, which is what we generally see, right? So when we look and go to a website, we're using most of the time the World Wide Web to do that. Now, what would happen is if you actually put a page up on the World Wide Web but didn't connect it to anything, right? So say you've put up a page, but Google doesn't know about it, and you haven't actually provided any hyperlinks from any other website to get to that particular site. That is essentially a dark site because you can't actually find it, right? It's not indexed, it's not findable, it's not searchable, and so it kind of sits off to one side. And this was kind of first known about and looked at back in the kind of early 90s, was this idea about websites which were essentially sitting dark, right? They were sitting somewhere where generally they couldn't be found, but they were using essentially the same protocols and the same services as the rest of the normal web, right, which was heavily indexed and searchable and findable. So that's the first kind of concept to get your head around, is that it is possible to put up sites using just the standard web that are essentially dark, right? And we can put information up there. Now, there are ways to search across the entire web and try and locate those dark pages outside of just using hyperlinks. But this is the first kind of, you know, thing to get your head around. Now, when we start talking about the dark web in the more kind of popularized notion of it, what people are often talking about are other kinds of pages which use not just these standard protocols, but also use things like the Tor network and other kinds of protocols and ways of actually connecting computers together to actually serve their information out. And so what the Tor network is and what makes it different to a standard kind of web page is that with a standard web page, what we do is we log on to our computer and we type in, let's use Google as a good example. So I type in Google into my search browser and my internet browser, and what it does is it actually contacts my internet service provider, which then goes through and actually looks for the name and tries to connect this name to what we call an internet protocol, which is essentially like a street address. Once it's got that, it knows how to actually locate that particular server somewhere on the internet. And so that's exactly what it does. It connects through and it grabs the information that I've requested and then serves it back to me. But one of the really interesting technical aspects of that is that route is completely known to all of those parties across that particular circuit. And so you could actually go back and see exactly who requested that information, which was me. The internet service provider can see exactly that it was me that did that, and also the server from Google's perspective can see who requested that information. And so it's actually you're able to actually join the dots between the destination and the originator of that request. With Tor, it's actually not that straightforward because it's a different kind of protocol. It's called onion routing, where it's actually trying to bounce information around a bunch of different computers which all have partial amounts of information. And so there's no way to actually, if you were to try and snoop on that kind of connection, there's no way of actually figuring out who requested the information in the first instance. So it essentially anonymizes internet traffic.
And how have these sites become so popular for criminal activity?
Well, if you can guarantee anonymity, then it means that you can request, you know, any kind of information you like without fear of being kind of found out. And so if you're using standard internet protocols and you're not even using encryption, so even when people use and you see HTTPS, so it's like a secure connection, there's still kind of, there's some information that you're giving away, such as, you know, exactly where it is you're looking for information. So when you connect using HTTPS, anyone, say a hacker who might be snooping on your Wi-Fi, can still see the site that you're visiting. So they still know where you're actually going and can infer, you know, whatever story they like from that, based on that, you know, if you're going to a particular web address, you know, it's going to be fairly certain what kinds of information you're going to find there when you go there. And, you know, so when it comes to Tor, you don't actually get that information. You don't get a sense of where the end destination is or the site that someone's going to find. And so what that means is that you can actually travel to anywhere you like on the web, and anyone that's snooping won't actually know where it is you're actually going. Where's your final destination on that particular dark web? So that's what makes it popular for, I guess, criminal activity and other kinds of activity. But not only criminal activity. I mean, you know, people are genuinely concerned about things like metadata retention and the government snooping on their activities. And so many use these kinds of Tor networks for completely honest reasons, which is that they just don't want their internet activity and their search activity to be seen by an overzealous government.
The Silk Road, which was one of the biggest dark web internet search places, hit at an estimated $15 million in transactions annually. That was brought down by law enforcement. Are these cases likely of law enforcement cracking these big internet marketplaces?
Yeah, of course. I mean, and the same's happened with file sharing as well when it comes to other kinds of peer-to-peer file sharing, when it comes to movies and other copyrighted materials. I mean, you know, when you engage and you use these kinds of services for those otherwise illegal activities, depending on the jurisdiction, then yeah, you can expect that law enforcement is going to try to crack down on that. And that's the thing, like the service, the technology itself is not criminal by nature. And so Tor as a network and the dark web as a service is not, by its very own nature, illegal. It's the ways in which people use some of these services that make them illegal. But I'll make the point that illegal activities happen on the open web as well. So it's not like, just to make sure, when people hear things like, oh, such and such uses Tor or this person's using the dark web, doesn't always automatically mean that they are engaged in criminal activity.
Is there anything else that you'd like to mention regarding the Medicare story in particular?
Yeah, so this particular story, I mean, this is in a long line of embarrassments for the government and their, I guess, just inability to control digital information. I mean, on one hand, you've got a complete overreach when it comes to them actually wanting to go out and snoop on people's activity across the internet, a la the metadata retention. But then, you know, the biggest concerns that we've had, particularly those like myself and the technical community, is the ability for the government to keep this kind of data safe. So, you know, the government right now has a complete dossier on my browsing history as much as it can see using this metadata retention. And when you've got something like Medicare being cracked, which, you know, you would think is one of the most sensitive databases that the government might have next to metadata, you've got very little confidence as a citizen of the country that the government is taking the adequate steps to safeguard this digital data. And when it comes to things like identity theft and other very, very serious concerns we might have in a digital world such as this, I'm completely floored by what I see as just utter incompetence on the part of the government to keep these details safe. And so, you know, before the government contemplates these kinds of things like, you know, storing even more personal data and personal identifying data of its citizens, I think it needs to get its house into order in terms of how secure that data is. So I'm absolutely furious at this revelation this morning of this data being hacked, and I think the government needs to do far more to actually protect this data, and it needs to back away from things like metadata retention until it can actually prove to the Australian public that it can keep this kind of data safe.